listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. You're listening to On the Couch, On the couch with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
Every Friday at 11 o'clock Pacific Standard Time here with me, your friendly psychologist, Dr. Michelle. I got a great show for you today. This is another free-for-all Friday. Got a whole slew of listeners asking me questions last time. I always invite you to write me and ask questions if you have anything you'd like to know, or you know, you want to problem solve, you want to work through it, and also you can put it out there for other people to respond to your problem, which I love, because a lot of other people do give input, you know, to your problems when you write me. And how do you get in touch with me? How do you do it? Well, what you do is you find me at my email address for LA Talk Radio here, the doctor one. It's docmichelle@aol.com, docmichelle@aol.com. That's D-O-C, Michelle with two L's. @AOL.com, and go ahead and write me if you have a question or problem or issue or anything like that. You know, I'll try to help you out, just give you some problem-solving ideas, things to think about. Of course, we don't have a therapeutic relationship, you and I, but this is just advice. It's kind of fun, entertaining, interesting, and I try to pick stuff that's kind of interesting as well as, you know, general that a lot of people write me about. So maybe if y'all are having similar problems, you can go, wow, that's a good idea. Okay. Also, if you want to check out my website, it's drmichelletherapy.com, drmichelletherapy.com. Find more about what I'm about. Making positive life changes. Yeah. And taking care of yourself, taking responsibility, and what I call, most importantly, detoxing from the drama in your life. Got to try to do that because you know, we create drama and it makes us crazy. We create it. Or others around us create it, but we chose to hang out with those people. So, you know what I'm saying? So you got to work on that. And if you have a personality disorder that loves drama, then work on yourself. You wonder why you don't have a lot of people in your life or friends, or you can't hold a job? Because of your personality. Of course, if you have a personality disorder, usually you're in denial about it. But, you know, if you get clues from the environment and you're unhappy, you don't have a big social life, you don't have a, you know, a decent working relationship, you can't kind of keep yourself together, you don't have really any kind of romantic relationships, or have had a few, but they always end up really sour. Got to kind of take a look at your responsibility in the issue. All right? Yeah, if you want to call in, you can do so also here on LA Talk Radio, the biggest talk station on the internet. And I mean big, with the most interesting subjects. And, of course, all the information you ever want to know and more. You can call me here live at 323-203-0815 if you have a question or problem or issue or anything you'd like to share. If you have a success story, I'd love to hear that as well. You can share that with the listeners. So it's 323 area, which is Los Angeles. We're here on the West Coast, PST, yep, 323-203-0815. So I'm going to start out answering a slew of questions. If you want to call in, do so. We'll grab you on the air. And today I'm going to be answering questions which involve, these are really good ones. My producer and I kind of looked at some of this stuff. How to make a really good impression on a first date or couple of dates. Now, I have a lot of singles who I see who are doing the online dating thing. And or they're meeting friends. They really want a good person. They're looking for the special person. And, you know, you've got to just make a decent impression on the first date, right? Or a couple of dates. You know, we hear these stories about dates from hell. I get a lot of those, which are kind of fun. But you want to make a good impression on your first date. So I'll give you some tips on how to do that. We're going to also talk about how to be a happier person. I know that's just really general, but what are some of the traits that happier people have? We talk about that. You know, we talk about being happy. It's all subjective, really. It's all about you and kind of things that resonate with you. But I can give you like general traits of happy people. You know, why am I not happy? Well, maybe you don't have some of these traits going on. Okay. Also, I have a question about from a young lady about what are some of the red flags for guys that you meet and would like to start a relationship with? What are some red flags you should look out for that show that he may not be the best candidate for a committed relationship, not even to mention marriage? Also, we can talk about someone wrote me about how to solve certain problems with your partner. How to solve problems with your partner. Well, that's a really general question, but again, I work with couples a lot of times, and I teach them how to communicate better. And it's basic stuff, really basic stuff. But, I mean, when we're in the heat of anger or argument or anxiety or our egos get in the way, we can't think clearly sometimes. We can't take timeouts and think clearly to solve problems with our partner because these things are so important to us that we have to prove to them that, you know, again, our ego and our emotions get in the way. And I'm not talking about turning into a robot, but I'm talking about just, you know, having rational thought so you don't say something you will regret and sit down and talk about problems, work them through. And you don't have to solve things right this moment if your partner's not ready. You got to be cool with that, too. What else? I have some great psychological bumper stickers that one of my listeners sent me. This is really cool. These are these are from Dave from Denver. And these are funny bumper stickers to think about when you're driving. And you might want to have these created, because it'll make people laugh and chill out when they're driving and tailgating you or whatever. Great idea. Okay, so let's start out right now. Again, let me get the phone number out there if you'd like to make a call. But I want to start answering you guys' questions. You guys. Phone number is 323-203-0815. Dear Dr. Michelle, I would like to know how to make a great impression on a first date. I've been dating online. Many times after the second or third dates, the guys don't call back. What am I doing wrong? Can you give me some suggestions for making a great impression on a first or second date? All right. And I will do that. That's from Julie. And Julie, let me tell you what's going on. First of all, just be clean. Clean yourself up. Don't be too sexy. Okay, for girls out there, first dates, just look nice. Wear makeup to make yourself feel better. Don't overdo it. Don't be scary. Don't be too sexy, because that means I want to get laid. And if you do, well, okay, don't be insulted if he tries to hit on you. It's really important to smile. Even if you're not attracted to the person, right, that you're going to be spending time with, you know, might as well be pleasant, right? They've giving you their profile and picture, and you've talked to them on the phone, and you know, you've texted them an email, and now it's time to meet. And they look a lot different than their picture. And don't do that, by the way, guys. Don't, girls, guys, don't send a picture that doesn't look like you. I mean, get a really flattering one if you want, but don't get, you know, a lot of women and some guys get these professional photographs, which is a great idea, but they're all touched up. You know, they're Photoshop, they're airbrushed, they're touched up. You know, so if you're like 35 or 38, let it be. Don't be looking like you're 23. Because when the person sees you, they're going to go, ew, a liar. This is, and that you don't want somebody to be disappointed. So, okay, little suggestion there. So, smile, be pleasant. Okay, there's no sense in being like, ew, if you're not attracted to someone, will you see? Be pleasant. These are just some ideas. If you like someone and you want to make a decent impression on them when you're on a first date, look them in the eyes when you're sitting there across the table from them. You know, I mean, you don't get a creepy gaze. You know, that's the creepy guy stare, creepy girl stare. The X-ray vision stare. Don't do that. But don't look around. Because people subliminally, they don't trust people who don't look them in the eyes. If you're looking all around, looking down, your head's down, means you're embarrassed about something or you don't know what to say, or glance at someone and try to keep eye contact with them. Not the scary stare. All right. Just and have the pleasant look on your face, not the scowl. You know, eye contact shows that you're interested in somebody and what they have to say. Right. And also if you're, you know, with a guy or lady for the first time or second time or whatever, if you see other cute guys or women in the place, whatever, you might be in a club or you might be in a restaurant, whatever you're doing, you know, don't check out other people. It's really rude. Even if you'd like to sneak a peek at the hot brunette guys who's walking by your table, don't do that. It's really rude. Don't do it. If you're looking around at other people, that just means I'm not interested in this person, and I just, you know, I'm looking at eye candy right now. Not okay. All right, here we go. Interesting date, ways to act to get some positive feedback, just to have a good date. Say their name occasionally when you're talking to them, you know? Whatever. Like, Julia wrote me this. Say, hey, Steve. Yeah, really, really? Talk. Wow, Steve, that's interesting. You know what I'm saying? Let them know that you know his name. Just talk to him, okay? Put their name out there, okay? With the eye contact. Sometimes shake somebody's hand when you first meet them. It's kind of nice. Hey, hi, how are you? Right? It's just a kind thing to do. You know, kind of just put it out there. All right. Compliment your date on their appearance. This is a really important thing to do. I don't care if it's small talk or, you know, if they have insecure things and they'll think it's BS. It's just called appropriate behavior. Wow, you look really nice. You know, they usually took the time, hopefully you did, you took the time to pick out what you're wearing and that you'd like to be, you know, noticed in, right? If you think their outfit is really hideous, you think a guy looks really weird, just go, wow, that's a really nice color. Matches your eyes. Or if you don't want to lie and you think their outfit is really disgusting, see, some women and some guys make the mistake of wearing something too tight and they feel, you know, like they may be a little overweight. You got to dress for complimenting your body. You know, somebody's not going to say, oh, you look great. They're going to go, you look hurt. So if you can't honestly say that someone's outfit is nice, just compliment them on their eyes. I mean, it sounds stupid. I know. Wow, you have really, it's funny, in the picture I thought you had like lighter brown eyes. Your eyes are great. You know, that kind of thing. Or your hair looks great. Oh, I love the color of your hair. Whatever. You know, don't give them the once over. Don't check them out. You know, that's kind of rude. All right. What else? Those are just some ideas. You know, keep it light. You know, when you're talking to somebody on a date, engage in some small chit chat. All right. Just, you know, nice small things. Oh, what's going on? How you came to meet? What was interesting to you about that person? Reiterate it. You know, what really got my attention was that you were really interested in the same thing I am. You know, it's really cool. It's nice to talk to somebody who's into whatever, you know. And also when you're on a date, and again, don't pin someone down and stare at them and try to, it's really nice to ask open-ended questions. You see what I'm saying? Don't ask questions that can be answered with a yes or no. Because so many times I've heard from people who go out on first dates and they're with people who are feeling awkward. and they don't ask open-ended questions. They ask yes or no questions. So what they're getting from a partner who's maybe nervous or self-conscious or whatever, do you like Mexican food? Yeah. Did you have any trouble getting here in the traffic? No. You know, ask open-ended questions. What's your favorite thing in Mexican food? I know that we agreed to meet here. Or did you take like the long route here? Or what way did you get here? Or, you know, just, I don't know. You know, you don't want to start also asking in-depth questions. Start nice and easy. All right. You don't want to make people feel like they're at a job interview or under an interrogation. Just pick a few of, you know, conversation openers, general things, and move on. And, you know, easy topics, huh? Well, headlines, what's going on in the news? I don't know. Something you may have seen recently. You went to a movie. Something like that. Don't get deep. Don't start doing feelings. Right? You can talk about family. Oh, I have a couple of sisters, and they live in whatever. You know. Oh, yeah, I went to this school. Don't be talking about family issues. Don't badmouth exes. Don't badmouth people. Don't start complaining about people. A first date is not a place to dump your stuff on someone. And I think I should share everything. And I mentioned this before. You know, some of my clients have chemical imbalances. You know, major depressive disorder, bipolar disorder. And I think it's really important for people to understand on a first date, you know, what's going on. But I wouldn't share all the deep drama of what you've gone through in your life. You know, I would just say, hey, you know, it's interesting because this is so cool. I'm feeling really good, and I'm taking great care of myself. I'm exercising, and I'm doing. Just keep it light. You know what I'm saying? And it should be fun. Keep it light. Be funny, you know? Don't try too hard. This is one of the most common things that I hear from ladies, is that he was trying so hard. He was being funny, and he was animated, and he was, like, looking at me. He was doing the creepy gaze, and he was, like, trying so... And don't be a jerk and aloof, ladies and men. Don't act like, whatever. No. You know, show some kind of interest in what you're doing with a person. Keep it light. Don't give them a creepy stare. And those are just some ideas. Julian, I hope I helped you. All right. A little question here. Dear Dr. Michelle, we're moving on. By the way, if you want to email me and ask a question and I can help answer it, like we're doing today on Free for All Friday, you can do so at docmichelle@AOL.com. docmichelle@AOL.com. And that will help you out. Possibly. And if you guys have feedback, if you hear something or a question from someone or a problem and you'd like to give them feedback too, please don't hesitate to do so, because I'll read it on the air, some of the suggestions other people gave. Okay, cool. All right. Dear Doc, I know that men are from Mars and women are from Venus. I get it. I've read the book. But how do men and women communicate differently? Really? Are our brains really that different? Okay. What? Here's the thing. Yes. And yes. If you can just understand some of these concepts, ladies and men, about the way women and men think, it'll help you understand your partner better. Okay? One of the most common things I hear from both men and women is that they don't understand each other. It's because men and women, they communicate, think, they behave in different ways. Our brains, ladies, are wired differently from guys' brains. Okay? If you can understand this, you're going to have better communication in relationships. All right? You don't give up. So here's the basics. I don't want to be really boring and give you, but okay, here's the thing. Supposedly, we developed language about 250,000 years ago. Not too long ago, huh? All right? Our brains evolve in different directions through daily use over these past 250,000 years, right? The thing is our brains haven't changed all that much. It's really true. Men were hunters. They thought about ways to effectively stalk, kill, and transport home the food for the family, group, or the tribe, or what, you know, whatever. So men's hunting required creativity, cleverness, physical endurance, and not much talking. Did you hear that, ladies? They got to take care of business. Now, while the men were away, the women worked in groups for safety, right? You've heard all this. You've been an anthropology student. You understand all this. We gathered berries and nuts and other plants for food and tools. We took care of the kids. Now, when we did this, what did we do? We were all together. We bonded. We talked while doing our chores. We improved relationships within the group of women. We gossiped. We talked about the men. We talked about sex. Yes. And at the end of the day, when the family came together in the cave or the hut or wherever, scientists believe that there was probably not much talking between men and women. Okay. What they maybe talked about was like food. You know, what the kids did. And that's it. Does this sound familiar? Yeah. So here we are now, and generally speaking, when women talk to both men and women, much of the goal of their old brain is to establish a good relationship. All right? That's what it's about. When men talk, their old brain is trying to get higher status, maybe dominance over other people, over males, to have greater access to women. Yeah, they still want the breeding rights. Mm-hmm. They want continued success in their ability to take care of business, of getting the food or protecting their assets and the family. And that's why they sign prenups. No, just kidding. Not really. I'm not kidding, actually. Okay. So here's the thing. We have the old brain. So besides the obvious difference between a man's and a woman's brain, you know, the way they used to function, here's some of the real deal information about men and women's brains. You asked, I'm telling you. Okay? Science has proven a man's skull is generally thicker. I'm sorry, guys. Thicker and stronger than a woman's. Hence the saying, you're so thick-headed. Right? That's probably where that came from. So, in some of the brain imaging technology, researchers have found that generally men use a good deal of the left hemisphere of their brains when they're talking and listening. Check it out. Left brain. Information. Okay? Spatial. Not really emotional. Women have four times as many brain cells connecting the right and left sides of the brain. Doesn't mean that we're smarter. We are, but I mean, it doesn't mean that. Just kidding. It means that women have greater access to their right brain, which is about language and emotion. Obviously, we're more verbal and emotional than men. We're also able to focus on more than one problem at one time. We can multitask usually easier than men. Usually. Women are also more concerned with how problems are solved. Right? How that affects the relationships. Men usually deal with problems as an opportunity to show their competence and strength. They love to assume authority, taking care of problems directly, bada boom, straight, just do it. Men can set aside their feelings usually and focus on solving one problem at a time. Okay? How do men feel better in relationships? Here's a little tip. They feel validated a lot of times through shared activities. Whether they're physical, you know, like sports, outdoor stuff, sex, competition, or like analytic or mentally focused stuff. They feel closer when they do this with guys. They bond with guys. Women feel closer when they're talking and sharing personal information. So understanding these differences can really help guys and women more clearly interpret, you know, where their partners are coming from. All right, if you want to make a call, you can do so at 323-203-0815. You're on LA Talk Radio. You're on the couch with Dr. Michelle, as you usually are at this time. And we're doing what's called Free for All Friday. I want to do Free for All Friday because what I'm doing is I'm answering a lot of your questions and emails and stuff like that where you've written me. at docmichelle@AOL.com, which you can do so. And what I want you to do is respond if you have any helpful suggestions to some listeners' stuff. I'd love to hear from you because that would, you know, help them as well, and I can share that. You know, I'm only one person here, and again, we don't have a therapeutic relationship. I'm just trying to give you some problem solving and maybe suggestions and help and stuff. And this is Dr. Michelle with you, by the way, and you are officially still on the couch. Let's see what else. Oh, here's a good one. I really like this one because I get this a lot, you know, from clients who come in. You know, I want to be happy. I want to be happier. How can I be happier? Gosh, that's a really tough one because it's really subjective. We all have our own interests and stuff like that. But what I can do is I can tell you some of the traits that happy people have. You know, they do these polls. They do these scientific polls. And they're like research surveys. And they find out, you know, what some of the characteristics are that happy people have. So if you read that stuff, you go, oh, maybe I should do some of these things and I might be happier. Or, you know, maybe I should think about that. Am I doing these things in my life or am I thinking this way? A lot of it's about changing your thinking. That's why on my website, drmichelletherapy.com, I tell you about making positive life changes. Positive. That includes your thoughts. Okay? So here's some of the things that happy people do. And by the way, Brian, thank you for emailing me. This was from Brian. Brian says he lives in New Jersey and would like to find out how to be a happier person. So all I can do is I don't know you and I can't tell you, but I can tell you that there are characteristics. So here's a biggie. Try to appreciate life. Okay? And, you know, it comes down to the basics, Brian. Be happy that you wake up each morning. You're waking up each morning. Okay? Happier people, they kind of have like a childlike sense of wonder towards life. You know, you say, wow, when I was a kid, I was so much happier. Well, that's because you haven't been beaten down by a lot of stuff in life because you've had to take responsibility for and deal with a lot of emotional issues. All right? So focus on the beauty of everyday things. Try to make the most of each day. Don't sweat the small stuff. Stop driving yourself crazy. Just be happy you woke up and go, okay, right? If you have some gratitude going on in the morning, thank you, God, or whoever you want to thank. Thank you to yourself. Wow, thank you for waking up. Now, I got a little back pain here. Ah, my neck's out a little bit. I have to go to this crappy job, but thank you for letting me wake up. I'm going to make the best of it. Another thing that a lot of happy people do is they like to learn continuously. They're not stuck in solid ways. Learn continuously and keep up to date with like what's going on with the news. Keep up to date on your interests. Read new stuff about hobbies or interests if you're interested in something. You're interested in outer space? I don't know. Whatever it is. Read more about it. The more we read, the more information we take in, the more we appreciate out of life. Try new and daring things that have sparked your interest. Again, going back to the childlike characteristics. You know? You always wanted to, like, ski? You wanted to snowboard? You want to do sea-doos if you live near a lake or the ocean or something like that when it starts warming up? Wow, I've always liked to skydive. Oh, God, if I could just do that once. Oh, wouldn't that be a rush? Check it out. Learn stuff. Try to put yourself out there just like the childlike stuff. Try to do that. Okay. So it goes along with doing what you love as well. And this is one of the other characteristics that happy people do, you know, in all these surveys. Happy people do what they love, you know. You know, jobs are tough. Most of us, you know, find stress and there's tedious stuff in our jobs. It's tough. Some statistics show that like 80% of the people, and this is just, you know, this is a random sampling in a city, in a major city, 80% generally, give or take, They don't like their jobs. What? No wonder there's so many unhappy people running around. We got to make money. We've got to exist. We've got to live. We spend so much time working. So choose a career that you might enjoy. You know? Yeah, but I want to make more money. Yeah, I get it. Yeah, but I really want to save. Okay, then suck it up. Make the money. Sock it away in your savings. And then find another job you like. Suck this one up for a while, but then find something else you like. If you hate your job and you want to make some money, suck it up and enjoy some hobbies and interests and hang out with cool people. That's the breaks that we give ourselves when we're around our crazy, hectic jobs. All right? If you are suffering because of, you know, a really horrible boss or manager, somebody's badgering you, you're finding you're having problems with the interpersonal relationships at work, think about getting another job. If it happens a lot in your jobs, you got to realize that something's going on with you. And you may have some issues with your personal and social relationships and the assumptions you make about other people. Okay. It's just another idea. All right. What else? As I'm responding to Brian's question here, I'm trying to think about some of the responses that I give to clients in my office about how can I be happier? So here we go, Brian. Some of the other traits that happy people have. I know this is a no-brainer. You're going to go, well, duh, Dr. Michelle, that was stupid. But it's true. Enjoy your life. How do you do that? You take time to see the beauty around you. There's more to life than work and stress. Take time to stop and smell the roses. Literally. Watch a sunset. Be with friends who are nourishing or a loved one. Take a walk along the riverbanks, out into the woods, up into the mountains, or if you're lucky enough to live near the coast, take a walk on the beach. That'll pull you back to the present moment. I'm here now. Whoop. Or sometimes when you're walking out in nature, you think about the stuff you've been through during the week, and it's letting you download your thoughts. Try to be in the now. And enjoy life and its nature and out there and the pretty things. Oh, you live in the city and you got to walk out to the cement and see hordes of people bumping into each other and their energies are just overwhelming you. All right. Get to a nice little cafe you feel comfortable in. Get to a park. Take your break near something that you can look at that's nice. All right. Just some ideas. Some other traits that happy people have. They forgive. They give it up. They don't hold on to grudges. It gives you peace of mind. Forgive. Let it go. When you screw up, own it. Learn from it. Admit it. And then forgive yourself. Don't do it again. If you hurt somebody or you act like a jerk or you do, own it. Yeah, I was acting like, I'm so sorry. I don't know what I was thinking. I've just been stressed out. Think about it. Don't do it again. That's called taking responsibility. Okay? And we talked about gratitude. You know, you wake up in the morning and you go, I hate to feel better. Thank you for waking up. Small, but it's true. Count your blessings, all of them, even the ones that seem trivial. Be grateful for your health. Be grateful for your legs that you can walk on if you can't. Be grateful for the wheelchair that helps carry you. Be careful. Be grateful for the great food that you can eat. Be grateful for your surroundings in your home. Be grateful for your friends and your family and your loved ones. Gratitude for every little thing you can think of. If you can wake up and be grateful for 10 things every morning when you're sort of rolling out of bed and you're like, walking into the bathroom or whatever you do in the morning, walking into your kitchenette or whatever you're doing. I'm grateful for waking up. Whatever you can think of, I'm grateful that I had a good night's sleep. Or I didn't have a good night's sleep, but hey, I'm grateful because it's a new day. And it's raining, and I love rain. You thought I was going to say the sun is shining, didn't you? Yeah, got to look at it. Good wherever it is. Invest in relationships. always make sure the friends around you, your loved ones, your mates, know you love them. Be there for them. Makes you feel better. Nurture and grow your relationships. Sure, we all get in crappy moods. Overcome your ego and try to be loving. If you're having a bad day, you're feeling crappy, you're achy, you don't, just put a little smile on your face and go, hey, I love you. You know what I'm saying? Meditation's great too. You know, it's always kind of helpful if you can do that. I mean, it doesn't have to be some really crazy, you know, oh, I need a CD to find out how to. No, just relax, breathe deeply, and go to a really beautiful, peaceful place. Whether it's the ocean or the hammock in the beautiful park and the birds are singing or whatever. Just relax, you know. You can do other stuff too. You can do like yoga, hypnosis, relaxation tapes if you'd like. Affirmations are great. Visualization, or just sitting in complete silence. You know what? Silence is so nice because we got so much noise going on from work, and we got the TV on, and we got the phones are ringing. Yeah. Listening to music, which is great. Music therapy is great, but sometimes the silence is so wonderful. A lot of stuff comes out of the silence. Be optimistic. See the glasses half full. Try to find the positive side of even any given situation. It's there. Even though it's hard to find, just try to find the positive side. All right? Sometimes we don't know why things happen. Why did that guy rear-end me? I'm on my way to work. Some guy slammed into me. Why me? I stopped carefully. He was, like, texting. Why? All right. You're going to get through it. Shit happens. Move on. All right? Those are just some ideas. These are just some things that people do who are happy. These are characteristics of happy people. So, Brian, I appreciate you writing me here. Just you know, if you have any more questions or if you want to offer some other suggestions to Brian about how to be happier or the things that make you happy, you can email me at docmichelle@AOL.com. And, you know, I'll share some of these ideas with other folks on the line. All right. If you want to give me a call, if you have any questions or comments or anything, you can do so at 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815. And also, like I said, you can email me with questions or comments at docmichelle@AOL.com. All right. Today is Free for All Friday here on the couch with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio. So I'm answering a lot of, you know, your questions. By the way, regarding, you know, the last question from Brian, he emailed me and he said, you know, how can I be happy? It's like, ugh, that's a heavy, heavy one to answer. But, you know, speaking about like the characteristics of happy people and stuff, you know, anger, holding on to anger, holding on to resentment, that's a biggie. And the reason why I said that is because, you know, and you all know it, but this is like scientific research. Sometimes it takes research to go, whoa. It's true. If you find yourself falling into a funk for the sake of your health, you got to try to snap out of it. Because lots of studies, numerous studies have shown that depression and anger can make you sick. Literally. They have a Kansas City State University study. It expands on that. It shows that people who hold on to a bad mood for a long time are a lot more likely to suffer health problems than those who beat the blues quickly. All right? The key isn't how stressed you are. It's how long you're stressed. How long you hang on to this shit. You know, day in and day out. Months. Years. Well, he hurt me and I just, son of a bitch. I can't. All right. Here's the thing. You don't hang on to the nasty stuff. You don't hang on to the old stress. You don't hang on to the old resentments. Give it up. Move on. Work through it. Just an idea. It's a scientific study. Literally making us sick. Yeah. Okay. Moving on here on Free for All Friday. I like this one. What are some of the important red flags that you may suggest with problem guys? Michelle, I have had some bad relationships, and I keep repeating some of the same mistakes. I keep finding guys who are not healthy for me. What are some red flags I should look for? All right, Katie, let's get with it. It's not, you know, at least you're, you know, acknowledging it and you're not, you know, ignoring it. You know what? We got a caller. Let me check this call. Let me take this real fast. Katie, I'm going to get back to you in just a minute. Good morning. You're on the air with Dr. Michelle. Hi, who's this?
Yeah, this is Sam.
Hey, Sam, how you doing?
Great. Great show. Great show.
Thanks. Thanks. Nice to have you.
Yeah.
Where are you calling from?
Yeah. Santa Monica.
Great. Well, that's
Santa Monica.
What's up?
I'd like to know. I girlfriend who... I've been with her for about 8 years, and she has these rantings. She's angry and very physical, and she breaks things. Drama. And I really don't like the way she does things.
Yeah.
I don't like the way she expresses her anger.
Okay.
So I need to know how to do this. Because I'm afraid that she's going to take out a gun and shoot me.
Okay, you know what, Sam?
She does have violent tendencies.
Okay, she does, huh? We're having a really bad connection, so if it gets too bad, I'm going to have you hang up and call back again. So let me reiterate your question. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay, so you are with someone who has a really bad temper, and she throws things, and she yells at you, and she's very aggressive?
Yes.
Okay. How long have you been with this person?
About 8.5 months.
And why? I'm sorry.
Well, the sex is good.
Okay.
She's pretty, and I enjoy her company when she's not yelling.
Okay. And what percentage of the time is she not yelling?
Maybe 80% of the time.
Oh, okay. All right. Is she willing to get therapy, do you think, for her anger?
I haven't brought it up, but you know, I care about her a lot, you know, how do I tell her that?
Just the way you just told me. I think
you need therapy.
No, I mean, yeah, I would you need therapy. I would just give me some more information. What are the kinds of things she gets angry at? I mean, are you doing something to really make her angry? Are you verbally abusive?
I don't believe I am.
Okay.
No.
Are you in denial about that? Are you just...
No.
I mean, are you a nice guy?
No. I'm a good guy.
Okay.
I don't think I'm doing anything that causes her to do that. I just think that there's a certain tendency in her personality that causes these outbursts that are just I don't know where it comes from.
Well,
I just don't know where it comes from.
Yeah. What triggers her anger? What kind of things make her pissed off at you?
Her job. If I come home, you know, if I'm late picking her up, if she's over at my place and I get there a little bit too late, you know, and I'm not talking about 10 or 11 o'clock at night. I'm talking about, I work until around 7. I get home around 7:30, quarter of 8. And she's like, why weren't you home earlier? You know, and then that'll start this whole thing.
Okay.
She broke a very expensive vase that I had, in my place.
Yeah.
And it just really bothers me.
Okay.
She replaced it. She, you know, she apologized. She goes up and down, up and down, up and down.
Yeah.
And I'm just fed up with it.
Yeah.
just fed up with it.
Yeah, that's
so,
really hard. So. Yeah. Go ahead.
So what do you think?
I think she needs to get some help. I mean, I know these things are important to you. You said the sex is great and she can be fun and nice and you know, but the thing that bothers me is you said to me, you know, at the beginning of the phone call that you're afraid she's going to get a gun and shoot you in the head or something while you're sleeping. Is that what you said to me? I mean, are you kidding? You're laughing.
I guess I'm kidding.
Yeah.
I don't think she's ever gotten that violent. But,
okay.
You know, there's always a concern, you know. You know, do you truly know people? I mean, do you truly know you know, what's in the hearts and minds of people? I don't know.
Well, I mean, we can't go around being paranoid of people, and the best way we can, you know, understand people is clearly communicate with them. And obviously,
right,
she's
right.
not open to clear communication because she's just freaking out and throwing things. And does she physically hit you or anything?
No.
Okay. So
no.
She's more about, you know, drama, breaking dishes, screaming, yelling, kicking
yeah.
things, right?
Yeah.
That kind of thing. All right. So
yeah.
It's just what's your intentions for this relationship long term? You think? What are you thinking?
Well, I've been with her for 8.5 months.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know whether I love her.
Oh.
So maybe, I mean, maybe that's telling me something that, mm-hmm. you know, if I'm considering breaking up with her, then probably she's not the one.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is really somebody who is like I call it a rageaholic, you know, they're not really good people to be with on a long-term basis. I mean, you know, I don't know if you heard me, but you may have, but I was just talking about, you know, anger and depression and how it can literally make you sick. And if someone is always causing drama, you're a pretty calm person, basically. I mean, do you get into the fight? If she starts yelling and screaming, do you get into it with her?
No. I get quiet.
Oh, okay.
I get quiet.
Okay. All right. So you get to choose what you want to do. You get to choose.
Yeah.
But I think that it's, you know, not healthy for someone who has, you know, rage behavior, who breaks things, even though you said you were kind of joking and you laughed, the fact that you even said and thought it, you know, I'm afraid she's going to get a gun and shoot me because she gets that mad. That's scary.
Uh-huh.
That's very scary. So what I would do is if you really want to continue this relationship with this person, I would, it's your deal. You know, I would go to a therapist or I would make sure she gets.
Maybe we should do couples counseling, or does she need counseling?
I think both.
Herself?
I think couples counseling is great because you can take time to express both of your feelings in a safe, non-judgmental environment if you have a good couples therapist. And then individual therapy. Maybe you need to go to therapy and find out why you picked a rageaholic, why you need to take care of someone. You talked about picking her up, and, you know, it sounds like you are a caregiver sometimes to this person, like she's a little kid and you can, you know, she can just rage and she can do things and complain. So maybe you need to talk to somebody about why you picked somebody who allowed someone in your life who just freaks out in front of you. And definitely she needs to get some anger management. She needs to work out, you know, some of her frustrations and anger and pain, which is underlying to that. You know, just some suggestions. But, good. I hope I helped you. Good luck with that because,
Dr. Michelle.
You're welcome. And I really appreciate you calling into the show.
I love your show. I really do. I listen to it all the time.
Well, it's nice to have you there. Thank you so much for calling in. Take good care now.
Bye.
All right. Yeah, that's a common problem that I hear with a lot of couples who come in to see me is one or the other acts out like a child. You know, they have rage issues. And that's really a turnoff. I don't care how good the sex is. Sometimes on a long-term basis gets really old. You know, unless you yourself, like the caller, are addicted to that drama. And that's, you know, that's something you have to look about. That's why I said, hey, he needs to get some therapy to look at why he picked someone like that, too. Yeah, she definitely needs some anger management therapy. But there you go. We're just about running out of time, and I got to go. Yeah, it's been really fast today. And I thank you so much for being on the couch with me, Dr. Michelle, your friendly psychologist, as you are every Friday at this time here on LA Talk Radio. Don't forget, you can email me if you have any questions or problems or anything like that. You'd like to give suggestions to the listeners you heard today. It's Doc Michelle, D-O-C Michelle with 2 L's at AOL.com. And, of course, you can find me on my website, which, of course, links up to the webpage here on LA Talk Radio. It's DrMichelleTherapy.com. Stay tuned. This is the best talk station on the Internet and the most popular. More great shows coming up. Do take care of yourself, as I always say, so you can, you know, be the best for other people. Have a great day, and I'll talk to you next week. We got some great people coming in the next several weeks. Great authors. All right? We're going to find out about the secrets of great marriages next Friday. All right, take good care. Have a good one. Bye.
Seeing flashing rays of colored light.